Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Jeremiah 17:7. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Our purpose for being here again today is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are fully aware of the fact that studying God's Word is one of the greatest blessings that we've ever had in life. We realize we cannot study God's Word properly if our hearts are not in tune. And that's the reason why we usually spend, and I trust that I always will do this, allow you some time before we begin our study to be sure that our hearts are in fellowship with our Lord. So as you turn to Romans 9:30, you will see it on the back of your bulletin today. Also, you will see it on the screen before you. But let's bow for just a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful again for the wonderful blessings of life. We're thankful for your wonderful and magnificent Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that we will have a desire always to hear and to utilize, make application of the wonderful truths of your Word. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Princeton Henderson died. Probably you don't know anything about Princeton Henderson. He lived in Pearland, Texas. He lived to be 100 years of age. And even though his life was rather a quiet life, it was amazing that the Houston Chronicle last year did not present an obituary, but they wrote a featured article about him. They said he lived through the Great Depression. He saw the horrors of World War II as an Army veteran. He even came to a point where he buried his wife. This man was a butcher who worked for 70 years before he retired as a butcher. He taught a Sunday school class to seventh grade boys. He lived a very simple philosophy. And the Houston Chronicle picked up on this philosophy and wrote a featured article about it. His philosophy is, I chose to be happy. I chose to be happy. His daughter said he was always positive regardless of the situations of life. This quiet man influenced generations for one of the nation's largest newspapers because he chose to be happy. The question that I have for you this morning is, what choices are you making? And I address that to myself. What choices are we making? The Apostle Paul gives us some information in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, which reveals very vividly some choices that he had made. We see not only the fact that he chose to be happy, but there were some experiences in his life that brought him some sadness. The sadness that came to him was because of his own people. His own people, many of them, of course, refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became the stumbling stone for these individuals. And we read in this magnificent passage of Scripture that these people chose to turn their attention in another direction. They chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's been my privilege over the last few days to analyze, in fact, the last couple of weeks, to analyze some words. I always enjoy doing this. Sometimes when I study words, I realize that there is a very close definition, synonymous type definition for words. And yet sometimes when I come to words, I think that I ought to make them say perhaps something that they don't altogether say. And the words that I'm dealing with today, and I want you to think with me about it, is the word attain and obtain. I would ask you to write those two words down, because I believe that they are very, very important words in relationship to our passage. Righteousness obtained. How? In the second session, we'll deal with the subject righteousness not obtained. Why? Now, I know that that's a play on words. And I'm fully aware of the fact that when you look up the word obtain and attain, that there's a very close connection between those two words. What I'm going to do this morning is to ask you to write down a definition for each of these two words, and we're going to separate them. It may be that I'm pressing a little bit too much, but when you see what I'm saying, I think you'll understand. The word attain can be described as achieve, to gain with effort, to reach, to receive, to hold, to keep, to reach out, to accomplish, to gain with effort. Now that's what we have down here as attain. But what is the meaning of the word obtain? O-B-T-A-I-N. I believe that the best definition that I can give you is to come into possession. To come into possession of. To receive. To possess. To have. Now, you'll have to really pay attention to see where I am and where I'm going. If you look at the word attain, it means to gain with effort. If you look at the word obtain, it means to come into possession of. When I look at this passage of Scripture in Romans, the 9th chapter, I first wrote down righteousness attained. How? And as I analyzed that in the light of my definitions, I said, that's not the right word. Righteousness obtained. How? Now you'll have to think. Righteousness not obtained. Why? If you remember that we've been looking at Romans 9:32 for a period of time now, and you may have been wondering why I've been trying to emphasize what is found in this passage of Scripture. I believe you'll be able to see it as I read now these verses and then pick up in Romans chapter 9 with verse 1. The Scripture says in Romans 9:30, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it?" Obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. Verse 31, "But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it." Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Now keep that please in mind, and let's go back to the 9th chapter beginning with verse 1. "I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, Paul said. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. Are you able to see that the introduction, I choose to be happy? The Apostle Paul, of course, was. And yet we see him expressing some disdain. Look down at verse 6. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Verse 7 of Romans 9. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children. It is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Now, if I give you three names, you're going to know the difference when I give you the next three names. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The next three names, Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. As I give you those three names, I'm sure that each person in this auditorium today is able to detect the difference between what I've just said. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham, Ishmael, Esau. The reason why I've repeated that is because I want you in your mind to be aware of the fact that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac, laughter. Magnificent, wonderful continuation from Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The name Jacob changed from Jacob to Israel. All of you perhaps already know that. When you look at the non-believing line, you will see Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. Isn't that amazing? Now, what I want you to see is that in the third chapter of the book of Romans, we have this verse. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. I'm tying this together. Romans 3:23, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there's no distinction. God's righteousness and man's sinfulness are very far apart. But the question is, how are they brought together? God does not condescend, nor does God compromise. When you look at Romans 3:23, it begins with a little conjunction, even, which is a contrast to what was revealed and is now revealed through faith in Christ. This is a same righteousness of God, but now it is presented in a specific appropriation way. It says it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul has already offered the idea of faith, but has been general in the development of his argument. He talked about faith in a general way, but now he talks about faith in a specific way. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to follow those words carefully. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There's no distinction. Man is not saved by some random faith or a faith that describes some merit on the part of mankind. Mankind is saved by a specific faith, not merely in God, but specifically in what God did through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture, which you see on the screen, is one of the most fantastic passages that I've ever come across, because it presents to us righteousness obtained. How? How is righteousness obtained? You are a born-again believer. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You've been brought by the Spirit of God into the family of God. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit brought about this magnificent experience that brought into your life regeneration. Regeneration set up a new environment that made it possible for you to be the recipient of imputed righteousness. I'm not saying something you don't already know. I'm saying something that we need to magnify. Righteousness obtained. Not attained. Attained would emphasize our effort, our ability, our desire to do it by ourselves. Obtain is different. Obtain means to come into possession of, to receive, to hold, to keep, to possess. Look at these verses that you see on the screen in the back of your bulletin. What therefore shall we say? That the Gentiles, not pursuing righteousness, have obtained it. Change the word to obtain. What I discovered interesting is in the New International Version, it doesn't say attain, it says obtain. What therefore shall we say? That nations not pursuing righteousness have obtained righteousness, but a righteousness which is of faith. Now stay with me, look at the next verse. But Israel, pursuing. The word pursuing there emphasizes merit, works, human achievement, goodness. But Israel pursuing a law of righteousness did not obtain. They did not arrive at the law of righteousness. Why? And this is the part of the verse that we've been looking at over and over again. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as if it were by the works of the law. What did they depend upon? They depended upon their own goodness. They depended upon their own ability. They depended upon their own merit, works. And as a result of this, in capital letters now, type for you, they stumbled over the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. I want to give you in these next moments 20 points. And I know you're ready to take these notes. 20 points. In relationship to the fact that these individuals stumbled over this cornerstone. We're tying together two things. Righteousness obtained, how? We'll talk about that in detail. Righteousness not obtained, why? The people who did not have it, the people who do not have it now, are the people who are depending upon something other than what is God's plan for mankind. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 3:18 we read, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that takes us to the verse of Scripture which all of us have memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would never perish but have eternal life. It takes us to John 3:36, which says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Notice what that says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Which takes us to Acts 16, 32, 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. Number one, Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jesus Christ, then, is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. Number two, this stone, Jesus Christ, caused many unbelievers, unbelieving Jews, to stumble. This stone caused many unbelieving Jews to stumble. Number three, failure to accept Jesus Christ is presented to us in the passage of Scripture which you have on the screen, Romans 9, 30-33. Failure of Israel to accept Christ. Number four, Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. That's the reason why we've placed on the screen for you this magnificent picture, which shows us the fact that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And I'll put this up here for you to see again. I think that it is something that you need to see. It's an emphasis upon Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And we have a picture of the fact that Jesus Christ is the one. I'm looking for the little transparency, but just to remind you that the transparency presents the cross, and it presents Israel on the one hand and the church on the other hand. Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. Number five, the Scripture reveals that no one will ever be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one will ever be disappointed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, God's plan in every dispensation is for people to accept Jesus Christ. God's plan in every dispensation is for people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's no other way of salvation than through the person of Jesus Christ. Number seven, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, that salvation will not be lost, canceled, or reversed. That salvation will never be lost, canceled, or reversed. Number eight, the true foundation of these two invisible buildings is the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation for these two invisible buildings is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number nine, the church's construction is now in process. What I'm trying to say is, from the day of Pentecost all the way to where we are right now, individuals are accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And as they do that, they continue the construction of the building of the church. The church's construction is now in progress. Number 10, one of these days the rapture will occur. The church then will become the spiritual temple of God forever. One day the rapture will occur. We do not know just when that will be, but we know that you and I will leave this life either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death. The rapture will come, and that will consummate the church age. Number 10, again, when the rapture occurs, the church becomes a spiritual temple of God forever. Number 11, Israel has Jesus Christ as her foundation also. Israel has Jesus Christ as her foundation also, but Number 12, because Israel rejected the spiritual building, the construction of Israel was halted. You can abbreviate that by putting down number 12, Israel rejected and the construction has been halted. Number 13, when the church is removed, Israel's construction will resume. I could put on the screen for you a picture again of the timeline. There you will see the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the interruption of the age of the church, and we'll see that there is then the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel, which is known as the tribulation. When the church is removed, Israel's construction will resume. Number 14. It will resume with the believers of the tribulation and millennium. It will resume with the believers of the tribulation and millennium. Number 15. At the end of the millennium, Israel will become a holy temple for eternity. I hope you're able to get these points down and analyze them in detail later. 15. Repeated. At the end of the millennium, Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. Number 16. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. Please get this in your mind. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. Jesus Christ was born in the age of Israel, died in the age of Israel, was resurrected in the age of Israel. Pentecost came. The church age began. 30 A.D. Excuse me, from 30 A.D. to 70 A.D., we have an expression of God's grace to the children of Israel, the unsaved, who had opportunity to receive the proclamation of the gospel and turn their backs upon it, stumbling over the stumbling stone, bumping up against it, and yet rejecting it. During that period of time, as all of you know, God gave information in relationship to the cycle of discipline, which would be this in 70 A.D. But God also gave a magnificent opportunity for the people to hear the gospel. And as you know, at Pentecost, God gave the legitimate, bona fide gift of tongues. There's a difference between the bona fide gift of tongues at that time and the illegitimate presentation of tongues in our day. Number 15 again. At the end of the millennium, Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. And number 16 again. At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. Number 17. At Pentecost, Jesus Christ became the foundation for the church. What a beautiful picture if you're getting this all down. At Pentecost, point 17, Jesus Christ became the foundation for the church. I repeat now, point 18, at Pentecost, the Jews were given 40 years of grace. It was as if the Lord was saying to them, get into the superstructure. Get into the superstructure. And they wouldn't do it. 40 years of grace. Grace comes before judgment. Number 19. Then the Jews came under the discipline when Titus and the legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and scattered them. Most of us are familiar with the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jews. If you haven't done it recently, look it up on the internet. Look up the destruction of 70 A.D. Point 20. believing Jews today become a part of the church, not Israel. They become a part of the royal family. I'm sure you've heard this before. Racial Jews, religious Jews, regenerate Jews. You've heard that expression. Let me talk about it for just a few seconds. Racial Jews simply means that they're of the race of Israel. Religious Jews may be that they are or are not, but they've chosen the religion of the Jews. Regenerate Jews is not really a true statement, because a person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what his race, he is not a religious Jew. He's a regenerate individual, just like you and me. Jesus is the cornerstone. He came for sinners to atone. Though rejected by his own, he became the cornerstone. Oh, Jesus is the cornerstone. When I am by trial oppressed, on the stone I am at rest. When the seeds of truth are sown, Jesus Christ remains the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. O rock of ages, O cleft for me, O let me hide myself in thee. O rock of ages, so secure, and for all time it shall endure. Till the children reach their home, he remains the cornerstone. Till the breaking of the dawn, oh, till all footsteps have ceased to roam, ever let the truth be known, Jesus is the cornerstone. Could I tell you again, this is a song that was written by Words and Music, Laura Goss, G-O-S-S. Jesus is the cornerstone. How beautifully presented. And the last verse of that song goes like this. Till the breaking of the dawn, oh, till all footsteps have ceased to roam, let ever his truth be known, that Jesus is the cornerstone. This verse of Scripture that you see, passage on the screen, says, what therefore shall we say? The Gentiles, not pursuing righteousness, have obtained it. Change that word from attain to obtain. A righteousness which is by faith. Romans 9:31. But Israel, pursuing, expressing their own works, human achievement, their own merit, their own goodness. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not attain. They did not arrive by what they were doing. They did not arrive at that point of righteousness. Why? Romans 9:32. Because they sought it not by faith. Let me tell you what has been a problem for me. Well, it's not really a problem. There's so much here. And the desire that I have to give it, I want to give it all in one 30 to 40 minute period of time. And that's an impossibility. That's the confusion that I've had. What I want you to see is, when you look at this passage of Scripture, there's so much here. And there are words that just stand out. Have you ever had that happen to you? When you read the Scripture, study the Word of God, it seems that some of the words just seem to get bold and stand up and shout at you. And that's happened to me in relationship to these three verses. That's the reason why I don't want to leave them. I want to keep on staying here, because there's so much more that you and I have yet not seen. And what stands up for me, along with all of this in relationship to the Apostle Paul's concern and prayer to God for Israel, is that they be saved, along with all of that, is that he presents to us here by the Spirit of God what is necessary for salvation. And what is not necessary for salvation. They were stumbling over the stumbling stone. Why? Because they were trying to attain. They were trying to achieve. They were trying to receive for themselves by their efforts. And it doesn't come that way. It comes by way of obtainment, which means receiving without merit, without works, without goodness, without any of our abilities. Why did these people stumble? They stumbled because of the very same reason that people are stumbling today. They're stumbling over the stumbling stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're putting anything and everything in His place. They sought it not by faith. So what words stand up? Righteousness comes up boldly. And I want to present 3 hours in 30 minutes on the subject of righteousness. And in that same 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I want to present 4 or 5 hours of information about faith in that same 30-minute period of time. Are you able to see how difficult it is to be a preacher? When you have so much that you want to say in a brief period of time, and then John comes in late. John knows me very well. It's time for the break. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. In these closing moments, let me say to you who are listening by way of the internet, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And today you can trust Him if you haven't already done so, and He will save you. How wonderful that is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I would encourage you to do it now. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be those who will not be stumbling over the stumbling stone, but that they, at this very time, will accept Him as their own personal Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.